You got to let that moving average catch up. You got to let everything reset. And the low-risk entry right now is not there. And you'll see here, look at that beautiful pull, flag, target reach. It repeats, rinse and repeat. It's always, it's the basic constructs of any upwards move or downwards move. It's you go up, and then after that, slows down, profit taking, whatever. And after that, you decide. So right now, we're right there at, again, a consolidation on the daily chart. Highly has started. When I see the momentum, has the correction started on the weekly, right? It has not. So this is where the longer term bullish guys, the people that now weekly, monthly charts are starting to go into like the stacker.
Patrick Karim, North Star Bad Charts. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Andy. Always fun to catch up with you. I was looking on some charts and I said, I can't wait. I'm talking to Andy this morning. Maybe I could share some of those later. So yeah, it's great.
I would love to hear about it. And just for the record, I mentioned this off camera and I want to say it again. You've had some really great calls with me in regards to silver and gold and the miners, but I want to lead with all that. Let's lead with silver. We've had quite the great breakout, but it looks like it's a little parabolic for me. I won't touch it at these prices. Tell me your thoughts and what are the charts telling you?
Thanks for the shout out. But if ever like calls there, it's a coin flip, right? It's like, as chart traders, we have like roadmaps and we say, we're going to buy if it closes above this level and that's my breakout. But sometimes, the breakout doesn't reach the measured move. Sometimes the breakout fizzles and then it's a reverse move. So, sometimes it's like a coin flip, that stuff. It's just the risk and money management. If I know that on a trade, I lose one, but if I win, I win three. Even if I'm right 50% of the time, I'll still make money, right? Because if I win, I win three. And if I lose the other time, I lose one. So it's a net two. But yeah, no, it's always fun there when a roadmap plays out there. We strive for that, right? We always want to try to get better. I'll show you the short-term chart for silver. I'm sure that's going to give a lot of... Do you see my screen?
Okay. You got it.
All right. I hear maybe, see, there's this thing here. Okay. Right out. Okay, here. So here's a silver chart. I put on Twitter, guys, a little while back. We were down. I think we were over here consolidating right there. It's the 8-hour candle chart. If you guys want some fast reaction times, and I just had this possible longer term rising support line. Because somebody said, hey, Patrick, can we get $40 by the end of the year? I forget, somebody called the $40 by the end of the year. So when I hear that, what I do is, okay, well, let's see if it's even visibly possible, right? So you draw a rising support line, you put the date, or somebody wanted to know by July maybe. So this is July and we were down here. So I said, so my reasoning was as long as the price stays above this rising trend line, there is a, the price could go, if whatever, it could go like this and then up. So it's a possibility we hit 40. But now, like you said, it's stretched. Look at these pull, flag, pull, flag, pull. And this pull is much longer than the previous one. Like usually it's a measured move. So yes, it is stretched. And now it 100% has started correcting from this very acute, probably going to be a longer pull flag. It's correcting right now, silver. So I have a line here that's starting to morph into existence. And that's my correction zone. That's how the way you should see it. It's there's an area here. I just don't know. Goodness, Pat. There. I just don't know how it's going to look like, where like the price is going to start moving in there. But I know that my next opportunity will probably be above this black line. So whatever it does... Let's say the price goes there. I don't know. It goes down here. We don't know, guys. Like we always want to say it's never going to go down, but I'll show you an indicator after that. I'll show you it is stretched silver. And this is probably the next lower risk entry is once we crossed a meaningful, the descending line, preferably a horizontal line, if ever one morphs into existence, like above 3650, you could wait for that. And that's probably going to be a crazy move if that breaks out. It will be a pull flag added to the breakout line. And it's like building blocks. And then then that brings us a little closer to the $40 target. And then, of course, same thing again, repeats, guys. Could have a flag here, you know. It can go up in a straight line, non-stop. And here, I'll show you guys. I'll put the distance from moving average on the eight-hour chart. It should pop up here at the bottom. What I like to do, Andy, is I put a line on the distance from moving average, and I like to see how many times statistically I was able to touch that line. I'm zooming out just to get a higher sampling rate. I'll zoom out. You'll see that pretty much every single time you look at my cursor, like every time you touch that line, you come close to a top and it starts rolling over right here. That peak, this was a crazy peak. And look, reaching that distance from moving average, extreme FOMO that we must have had back in, 2024, in May of 2024. Look at the time silver had went sideways there to correct. It took time for it to heal from that euphoric melt up. And then the low risk entry was here. But after that, another peak here, see where the price had to go sideways again. It's mathematical, right? And then after that, when the price resets, nobody believes in silver anymore. And guess what? That's when you should start looking at it. The price is coiled and tight to its shorter term moving average. That, guys, the bottom pane, distance from 36-day moving average, it's the distance, I'll remove the cloud, it's the distance from that orange, that red line. And look at this, look how stretched we got here. My goodness, right? Crazy FOMO. So stretch, historically, you got to expect that the correction, you're going to get a correction. And I'll show you something here. You know what, I'm going to remove that. That's in the way. I'll remove that. I'm going to put a vertical line right where it started falling apart, the distance from moving average. Check this out. So I have a rising trend line here. I'm going to zoom in. So I'm losing rising momentum. So I'm going up. It's fine. Now I'm starting. I can't keep going up. I'm losing that rising trend line. And now after that, I lose a horizontal line. And guess what? Look where the price, zoom in on the price, guys. And that's it. Even when the price was going sideways, I was losing momentum. I'm not able to distance a moving average as much. So I'm running, it's like I'm running uphill, Andy. I'm trying to always find a better and better analogy. And I'm just, the hill's catching up to me, the angle, I'm just too slow. I just can't make it over that hump. I can't run and distance myself. And guess what? Well, you falter. And look, price goes sideways. And because price goes sideways, the moving average, right, it still goes up because it's dynamic every time there's a new price point. But because the price points aren't higher and higher than the previous 36, right, you take out the first one, you add one, then it's resetting the momentum, it's resetting the FOMO. So the longer this correction lasts, the better it is, because this line here, whenever the price starts re-accelerating upwards, it's going to start distancing itself away from the moving average again. And that's a low risk entry. Look at this, Andy. You see how coiled and tight it was? Look at that low risk entry here.
Yep.
And that created a huge opportunity, right? It had so much fuel to go up right here. So the lower it goes, people like, I know they want the moon all the time, but I'm going to draw here just to show you where that moving average might go. The closer the price gets to that moving average before breaking out, the better the lower risk the entry will be, and the more chances we have that that next move will actually go up to our target. So silver's cooked on that time frame, guys. It's like, it's always about time frames, but that 8 hours is kind of short, but it's fun for those traders who want to know when to add. You can't add now. You don't add now. It's the correction has 100% started. What I could tell you is, will that correction last longer? So what you do is you zoom on the daily chart, and then you do the same exercise, remove all drawings, and look at the daily chart. Was it stretched on the daily chart? Yes. Look how stretched it was. It could get stretched more, but we're starting to get in that outlier territory. So getting stretched is one thing. What then you got to be scared of is, am I losing rising momentum, rising trend line? The answer is yes. So that means it's starting to slow down already. And here, the correction has started on the daily. I don't know quite where that line is going to be, but it's always the same thing. And you got to let that moving average catch up. You got to let everything reset. And the low-risk entry right now is not there. And you'll see here, look at that beautiful pull, flag, target reached. It repeats, rinse and repeat. It's always, it's the basic constructs of any upwards move or downwards move. It's you go up, and then after that, slows down, profit taking, whatever. And after that, you decide. So right now, we're right there at, again, a consolidation on the daily chart. Highly, highly has started, when I see the momentum. Has the correction started on the weekly, right? It has not. So this is where the longer-term bullish guys, the people that now weekly, monthly charts, you're starting to go into like the stacker. Well, stackers, they don't care. They buy anytime. But you're starting to get into people who buy it longer term. You still have this crazy, crazy breakout here for silver. It's done. It's in the bag. And the correction has not yet started. So if that correction persists on the daily chart, eventually the distance for moving average from the 36-week moving average, see, it's a beautiful breakout like this. If somebody didn't care about the daily jiggles, who cares what's happening today for you guys? It hasn't impacted yet the weekly time frame. But if you're a weekly time frame guy where the moves could last, you're going to hold it for many, many months, maybe a year if this thing really trends nicely, there's nothing yet. It's a nothing burger, right? There's no correction yet. Nothing's happening right now. It's just going sideways for a week or two, but there's no, you know, no prolonged correction to anticipate on the month, on the weekly. And there's still fuel. See, look on the weekly. Am I stretched, Andy? I'm not stretched very much, right? I'm still down here. I'm able to see if I stretch back, I'm able to get much further away before I really, really hit some resistance, right? So this is really kind of the beginning of the move on the weekly. Here's the monthly. Oh, look at that. The monthly. Possibly a breakout again, an aggressive breakout. They're kind of I see those like popping pimples there. It's like the volcano. Because it's a rising trend line. It's kind of tricky because often they resolve downwards because you can't make a higher high. Like you're making higher highs, but it's like you're getting squeezed out. Often these wedges, you go down. But when you see those, sometimes they just create a crazy, crazy melt-up move on the onset of that. But we need the monthly close. What are we? There's still two more weeks, Andy, in the month. If the correction on the daily persists and it cascades on the weekly, maybe we'll close below that line there by the end of the month there. That's why I always, always, always wait for a candle close. And you'll see on the monthly, I'll remove these lines here. I'm right here at a wall there. So I'm not that stretched. I was, we were able to stretch more. This looks like a breakout, pull, and flag here. And if ever we break out of this, we were able on the distance from the 36-month moving average, if we're able to close above that, then we should have a crazy explosion that goes all the way up here. And that will bring the price 69% above its moving average. I'm going to put my measuring tool. That's a 36-month moving average. What did I say? 69%. And look at that. That will probably be, if we get the breakout here, I'm just going to anticipate. Just imagine where that line could, maybe it's even more severe. If ever we get that breakout, that's probably going to be the move that brings us back to 48 there.
Got it. So really the bottom line is on really the daily charts, things look like they're correcting. And to reiterate, and I don't want to speak for you, but to me, corrections are needed and wanted. So that's fine. But on a longer term trends, which is weekly and yearly, really we're looking for a breakout right around 37-ish, 38-ish. Is that correct?
On the monthly chart, yeah, you want a solid close. Look, there's even the line here. I'll lower it here. Here's a wall. Look at this. Look on the left. Support. Mm-hmm. Turn resistance. 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 So Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at the magic. Yeah. That's crazy. So if you get a solid close above 34.50 at the end of the month, like I don't want to wick here, not marginal. Like if it closes the month at 36 there, it's a done deal there. Higher the better there. But any a close 36, 3650, it's a breakout there.
Wow, that's beautiful. Okay, let's talk real quick about gold here, if you would. Gold's been, looks like it's been going, had some really, has had a great run, really since, I don't know, 8 months here. That being said, it's consolidated. It looks like it's consolidated. We've talked about this in the past, the last few months. What's your opinion on gold?
All right. Well, let's do the same. Let's go on the 8 hour chart, guys. And gold on the 8 hour chart actually had a breakout here, a retest. And let's see how the chart morphed. Here, there's another, goodness, yeah. So that's probably what we're dealing with right now. It's a flag above a bigger pattern, an expanding wedge. So those are kind of bullish. They are bullish once they break out to the upside. So here is probably my continuation breakout line for gold. We're probably right here there. So if we get a close on the 8 hour candle, a solid close above 3385, like something here, maybe at 3400, we get a close here. That looks like it wants to go up there. I could look at my distance from the from the 8 hour 36 moving average, 36 period moving average. And let's see what we're dealing with here. Yeah, there's a little breakout here. Only two touches. I don't like it. Yeah, there's a there could be a resistance line here. Yeah, a more meaningful breakout would probably be once we close above that line here on the 8 hour chart. But it's not stretched. You see, so on the 8 hour chart, gold, because we saw the gold silver ratio like plummet. Silver went up. Silver is stretched. Gold is not stretched. So it did what it had to do, hold its ground. But yeah, that's probably the breakout for gold. The daily chart, see, gold is also has reset nicely on the since it was peak FOMO here. I did a post back in April there, and people didn't like it there. But I told folks that gold, maybe I could find it there. How can I move this? Let me head off to my Twitter 2 seconds. Let me go. Did I put my highlights? Profile, highlights. Here's my gold chart. Oh yeah, here. See here, back in April, I did this chart. This is just the distance from a 36-month moving average, Andy, and I saw it was starting to get stretched, right? And I said, okay, this is like, it's not low-risk entry, right? People on the sidelines hearing about people making a ton of money in gold, well, they made a ton of money. How do you make a ton of money? My price accelerating away from the moving average. So people on the sidelines, hey, gold, 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 whatever. Central banks, you know, all the narratives. But look, it was getting stretched. It doesn't mean it has to stop there, but... And I said, look, for people that were still holding it, it's fine. Like, it's all good above this, but the low-risk entries, they're just not there, right? And that was back in April. And since then... look, that was back here in April. And look, since then, look how even on the daily chart, it was super stretched, right? And look, it did a beautiful reset. So that's what you want. So all this time is opportunity cost if you're holding it. But now somebody on the sidelines, gold went nowhere for all that month. They're not interested anymore, but maybe they should. If this thing breaks out here, it's starting to move upwards. And we get that daily close here above, even here. Wall support, daily close even broke out here from the smaller pattern, Andy, there. So it's starting to move up, gold. If it closes above here, it's going to be great. Ultimately, what we're probably going to expect is that I would love something like this there. A small reaction here, and then you get three touches. That would be the pattern I would trust the most there. It would be here. So somebody could try to play it here, all the way here, but ideally, if ever we get a daily close above 34.25, like something solid, you know, like not a, like just a little bit there, like something solid here. And that could happen. We'll have to see that if you're patient a little bit, you wait a few days, because that's going to be the move. Here I have a pole flag. That's the move that's going to bring you much higher, right?
Yeah.
So you want maybe some of that. That's going to be a move that's going to bring you, what, 3,800, but you got 37. So that's depends what you want to play, right? Do you want to play a $50 move to the breakout line and then get halted at the breakout line, or you want to wait for the more important breakout line to break out and then you're gonna play a $300 move? Like, you got to choose what you want to do there. So for me, I would rather 100% wait for a higher time frame breakout. Look here, even on the, this is the weekly. The weekly still stretch, Andy. You see, it all, it's multi-time frame. It's the, it's the Russian doll, one inside the other. So
yep.
Still stretch, my goodness. It's like, we're not playing the odds here. So even that, it's kind of making me a little skittish in the sense that maybe it won't break out on the shorter time frames when I see it's that stretch on the weekly, right? You look at the low risk entries where they are when gold broke out there. Look, it was down here somewhere, not up here. When it broke out here, it was down there. Here, there was a shorter term breakout line. See, these are the lowest entries here. All like right here, there, when you're coiled low and tight, right? Even here, coiled low and tight. That's when that stuff breaks out. But we're not there. It's like, it's the truth is staring in front of me. Sometimes it's hard to accept, you know, you're long and you say you don't want to see that. You're, I don't see it. It's like your wife's cheating on you. The perfume, the cologne. I don't want to see it, right?
talk to me. Comment a little bit about it. It doesn't necessarily need a dramatic correction. It can go sideways, really, to consolidate. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, guys, corrections, it's time and or price. It doesn't have to be, you know, you could have a correction. Let's say this is a bullish expanding wedge. So we see the price, this is my play zone. And the correction is actually the price. Oh, goodness. That's not the tool I wanted. I wanted my curve. The correction is it's the price catching up to that red line, which is a 36-week moving average, which is that distance, right? It could just go sideways. That means the range of the price. Yeah, let's say you're in it there. It could just never go below 3,200 and it will still correct, right? You could stay within that range here and you're going to have a healthy correction. It doesn't have to plummet, right? Correction has to 10, 20% correction. Maybe people should not think about corrections and percentage. It's a combination of percentage on the way down, but also time. So maybe we should come up with a formula. It's the percentage per days or per period that you're holding. That's more important, right? That's what makes this line heal. Mm-hmm. See, it lost some rising. I don't like this there, Andy. Look, it had a rising line here. It lost it, back tested it. So now what's happening is 100%. Even if the price is going up a little marginally, we're still in a correction. And the low risk entry is probably once we close above this, that's going to be the low risk. And then on the monthly, are we stretched? Yeah, look. Oh yeah, the monthly. Well, I showed you that chart. Look. It's still stretched for crying out loud. It's still stretched, guys.
Look at that.
Yeah. I tell people it's sad, but the low risk entries, they don't come out on the monthly chart. Of course, they don't come in very often. And if you missed the one in June of 2019, and if you missed the one in late 2023, you've just missed them, guys. It's what I tell you. It's like, what could I tell you? I cannot invent a chart. It just happens like that. If you didn't believe it here, and that's the nature of the beast, because when price goes sideways all the time, it's starting to make you doubt. I'll never go up. The banksters, Mr. Slammy, insert your favorite reason why, Comex, JP Morgan. I heard all of them, the central banks, or like, I don't know. Insert your favorite reason. All these reasons, you start believing them when the price goes sideways and down. You start believing the narrative. And just like when the price goes up, you start believing the bullish narratives why it cannot stop. Right. But this is telling me objectively and unbiasedly that it is stretched. It is stretched there. Look, only in the 70s have you like, you surpassed this stretchiness there a few times. It doesn't mean the bull run's over, guys. It does not mean the bull run's over. Because here you see in the 2000s, 2006, the price went sideways for about a year to heal, right? 2008, the price went sideways for about a year and had a severe correction in price. So it doesn't mean it's the end of the bull run. Here it was in 2011, the end of the bull run. Went sideways for a year and then it faltered. But we're the early stages of this possible correction on the monthly chart, right? It hasn't really... Like I'll zoom in there. There's the price actually still going up. there's no apparent correction happening yet. Here's the measured move target for the classical measured move. Like there's still some room for that to go up. So it's stretched on the monthly, but you see, look, it hasn't lost any rising trend lines, right? It's only once you start losing trend lines that you say the correction has possibly started. Right now, we know it's stretched. We know there's no low risk entries, but it doesn't mean it's the end of the road for gold at all. It doesn't mean that. It just means that there's no low risk entries. And if it closes below that line, then the correction has started. That's, you can't read more into it than that there.
Yeah. So does that move, it looks like a parabolic move there, the last, really since 23. Does that concern you at all as far as, I mean, how does that, what do you think of that?
No, it doesn't concern me. Like, you know, stuff could, what this concerns me historically, when has it been able to sustain that angle? Oh, you're right. Look at the angle. Let's put an angle here. Show stats. That's a 58% angle of ascent against the distance from moving average. So that's crazy. Look at that. Yeah. Even here, it couldn't quite maintain it a little bit. Yeah, 58% did a little bit. Here, you see, did not do it. It went slower up. Mm-hmm. Here it went more aggressively up. Here it went more aggressively up. But for that long, let me just make it tight. I just want to take the exact length. For that long a period, even here in the 2000s, there when it started going up, it didn't go up as fast as that. That's crazy. Here it went up faster, but not as long. So yeah, these are rare. Like I have here's a bear market rally in 87. Just the 70s, guys. Just the 70s, you had something much more impressive, right? Yeah. So yeah, in the 70s, you had some crazy stuff there. But again, let's say you're here. You're here, Andy. I'm going to zoom in on this thing. And people are here and they compare the 1970s. Let's say they were about here. It's going crazy. And people, they say, oh, Patrick, in the 70s, it went up. Well, that was the end game blow off top. Do you really want an end game blow off top now? Is that really
what you want?
Is that really what you want?
Right.
That means gold's not going to $8,000. It's over. It's not happening. Right. You forget your higher up targets, your longer term plans. That's not going to happen. If you have a blow off top like that, there's going to be some pain as that time as to reset the price there. I'm going to zoom in. You're going to have some, that top here. Here you had a correction, a good correction, went up again. Then after that, you had a huge correction, went down 50%. You don't want that, right? And then it went sideways for January. That's 1 year. And then from 74 all the way to 78. Oh my goodness. It was 4 years it went sideways here, Andy. Three years and a half it went sideways. So that's the nature of the beast. The 2000 rally or bull market is the most beautiful one that, like, you sleep well at night. Like that's, give me that. I'd rather that me than crazy blow off top stuff there. This is a no brainer, no stress. You don't have to trade in and out. You just, that one was just beautiful all the way. So yeah, you don't want that. Ideally, this thing, you would want it to slow down a little bit and coast. You would want this to happen a little bit more there. You want a bull power zone. And hopefully that's what we get, a start of something where you get a nice correction, a multi-month correction, sideways. Then it goes up in a month or two, 3 months. It shoots up, goes sideways. That'd be the
perfect scenario
then.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the miners here. Let's look at some charts about them. GDX and GDXJ, if you have it.
Sure. Let's pop it up. The miners are stretched. They're stretched. It's like, no, same thing. It's like, there's no way. I'll put ASA because ASA, guys, I'll show you there. It's the miners. It's exactly the miners. You see, it's the same chart, guys, but I have more data. So anybody there that's playing JDX, just put the ASA chart because now you get data from the early 2000s. And tell me if that there's a low risk entry here, Andy. All your viewers, you should know the answer, right? You should know the answer. There is no low risk entry here, guaranteed. None, and none on this one, right? Of course, there's a, you know, what happened with ASA chart? There's some miners in there that did great way before this thing broke out. Whedon, I forget, Aya, Orla, there's a whole bunch of Dundee. Like, I'm naming these things that actually track the price of gold much more than the aggregate of them. Oh, hold on, I'm gonna put log chart. So it is stretch. Okay, it's stretch. It's done the move. The low-risk entries were not, you know, again, guys, you should be able to spot the low-risk entries, right? You see them? They're here. Here was kind of tricky. We're below the moving average, but they're down here somewhere, right? They don't come by very often. Look at this beautiful low-risk entry here back in the 2000s. You see, so that's the move. It doesn't look, but there's also this. See them? This is where moving average went up, but the bull run did not end. It's just the distance from moving average. That also could happen, right? You just weren't able to go up as fast. So you were more vulnerable for hard moves down. It doesn't mean it's the end. These are resets along the way. So it resets here, then you get another move up. You get some moves. But the fact that you're not able to distance the moving average as fast. Oh my goodness, I should have taken out my... Can I remove all that stuff there? The fact that you're not able to distance the moving average as fast is not the best situation. So let's look on the weekly chart. Are we stretch? Remove drawings. Yeah, you're stretched. On the weekly chart, you're stretched, but you're not falling apart yet. On the daily, you were stretched. You're starting to reset here. So here, you see lost momentum. So that means a correction has started. It started back here. So we're in a correction. I could tell you on the daily chart, guys, if you guys are interested, if you do want, there's probably going to be some type of line that's going to morph here. And until it gets back above, it's tricky here. Let me put that here, daily. Yeah, I would like it to reset more there, but maybe something above 34, you have that pull flag, then you'd have a move up here all the way to 37. So the daily is stretched. Let's go on the 8-hour chart. What? Practically? Yeah, it looks practically the same, actually. Maybe the... What? Okay, maybe it doesn't have 8-hour candles in there. That's a 4-hour chart. Nothing's changing much. So yeah, here's the daily chart. So probably going to have to wait a little bit for the consolidation to happen. Look here, you see how that's way more structured.
Yep.
Elongated. Lets the moving average catch up way better. And then you play that explosion upwards. Here again, like you spot them. The more you look at these charts, the more you spot them. We don't have that yet. It's a small, tiny pull flag. So if ever you play that breakout, it's going to be short. It's going to be a swing trader's play all the way up here. And then you'll be even more stretched because you didn't let the higher time frames reset. You're still going to be like in nosebleed sections, right?
Yep.
Crazy.
And yeah, that's what I like to see. I like to see an elongated consolidation period. It just needs to catch up.
And look, the target has been reached, Andy, here. Look at that. Pull flag. Target reached and surpassed. How greedy do you want to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to be careful. It's like some might continue. This is the aggregate of them. The better performing ones, I don't know. Haven't looked at Wheaton in a while. Look at Wheaton. I could swab that. You could look at that. Hey, that's a gold chart. It looks like the gold chart.
Yep.
How many miners are above their 220 highs and they're above? It's like, this is the gold chart. So you get a miner here that tracks the gold chart. Like, there's not many reasons to own the Azo when you could just pile in on Wheaton. Like, not financial advice, of course, but why? Like, I know people, I want the 100 baggers, but yeah, you're starting off at penny stock. But this thing's, you want a surer bet or you want, you know, so this thing's just great. It's stretched, it's getting stretched, but it still hasn't lost any type of rising trend line here. But it is stretched. Dundee, DPM. I haven't checked that in a while. Yeah, look at that thing. My goodness gracious. It's like, that's the chart for the ages there. Look at that thing. That was a breakout to play there. Look at that thing. Like, how often does that come here? Cup, handle, like, and then a more consolidation here. That's why these moves down sometimes, people play them. But then after that, you discover a bigger pattern. And then one touch, two touch, three touch, four touch, bam, this breakout. A breakout for the ages. That candle right there at 10, 1024. That was it. And look at the moving average was not, you were not stretched. Let me put a horizontal line here. Look at that. Look how close, you see? Where the low risk opportunities are, they're where, when you're close and tight.
Yep.
But now we're getting stretched. So even Dundee, even these crazy outperformers, they're reaching their measured moves. I don't even know from a classical TA, like everything's been reached and surpassed there in TA moves there.
Yeah. We used to use the analogy. It's like that really tightness there. It's like a ping pong ball or a rubber ball that's being compressed.
Yes, you're right.
It'll hit out through the least resistance, if you would.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So you've commented a lot about tech, and I think that's somewhat of a great sector that shows really the economy. And you mentioned that it's in correction mode. Comment about tech.
Yes. Well, often we get, so let's say I put a tech chart. Let's say I put Apple. And people, yeah, look, it's an uptrend. It's, well, even Apple nominally on its price chart, this is the monthly chart, guys. I'm going to just keep it to zoom out. Even on the monthly chart, remember that chart I showed you there that for ASA there, even if the momentum is, the distance from moving average is not super stretched, as the chart matures, even if the price goes up, it's not able to explode as fast. You know, that often you hear Bitcoin, you know, like the greatest. That's why stuff that starts off at a low price, often like a penny stock, is able to go crazy at the beginning, distancing itself from moving average. But as time moves on and matures, it does more of a dome shape. Like it starts, its growth, what do you call that? The adaptation phase and then the mature phase.
Yeah.
Now it's just like 100% mature. But now the distance from moving average, peak here, lower high here, peak here, higher high here. So that's higher high on the price. Lower high on the indicator, that's bearish divergence, which is not that bad in itself until the price starts faltering. Now you have a breakdown in momentum back here, retest. Mm-hmm. But now you're starting to lose lower and lower distance from moving average momentum, and the price chart itself for tech, let me remove all drawings. There's probably a line here. It lost the 12-month moving average. It lost a...
Looks ugly.
It's starting to lose a rising trend line. So this is... It could be bullish, but it would have to expand. But that could be... It looks like a topping formation. But I'll show you what's scary about this, Andy.
Yeah, please.
I'll show you something, a chart, guys. And once you see this, Apple, I'll price it not in gold. I'll price it in gold's underperforming baby sister, silver. And the monthly chart, and look at this. Look at the distance from moving average. This is Apple price in silver. It broke one touch, two touch, three touch. I'm going to put it four touch. Valid trend line. The momentum of Apple price in silver broke down. I'm going to put a marker here. It broke down in April, on the close of April, 2 months ago. It broke down. Okay. And look at the price of Apple price in silver. You have this here that broke down. You have this one that broke down, that one that broke down. You're below both moving averages, which are doing a death cross. So the 12-month is now below the 36-month, pretty sure. Let me zoom in. Yeah, death cross, declining moving averages, below the cloud support, Ichimoku cloud support, you're below it. I think there's a horizontal line, maybe. Okay, that one failed. Put it here. Here's a wall. Let's see where it bounces here. So you're in a downtrend. It's in a monthly defined downtrend, right? Until it closes above this line here. So now, when I hear about, well, tech's going up, tech back all-time highs. Well, okay, well, let's say it is doing, I guess, okay, maybe on its price chart. It's not falling apart. But if it's underperforming silver and about to break down versus silver, and could make a case that it did lose some rising trend lines here. And the momentum's like the momentum that started back in 1997, 2002, like a 20-year rising momentum trend line is breaking down. Oh my goodness. Wait, let me remove all these drawings. Reset my chart. I'm just going to zoom out there because sometimes. Okay, it's probably going to.
I see it now. Look at that.
Probably going to go there. There's some crazy longer term lines in there. That's starting to, so it, the more acute a line is, the more it just tells you that it's losing that rising momentum, that rising trajectory. But that, it could probably go all the way down here before it bounced there. And that would be a meaningful support line. It just tells me,
Big up there. Go ahead.
why would you, be long tech while you have another asset, which is in a bull market, outperforming it? So you should look at the other asset for opportunities in the other asset classes, whatever, uranium, the miners, like stuff like we're like you fiddle around into the alternative asset classes. Because even if the tech is going up, I could have shown you Amazon, it's the same thing, or the Russell. I'll show you back my screen there. I don't know why I stopped sharing. I'll show you that, like, let's say the Russell there, the Russell 2000, Russell divided by RUT, price and silver. Look at the Russell price and silver. Goodness. It's been in a down. It hasn't, it tried here, it barely did above its 2000 peak. And now it tried here in 2021, 2022, and it's just gone nowhere. And now it's going downwards versus silver. Look at that. Look at that. My goodness. It's so again, it's like, why you're in a downtrend against silver? Why are you holding? Why are you trying to play the Russell when you're falling apart here versus silver? You know, you would go long the Russell if it closed above this line here. If you started closing above here, but now this is lower highs, lower lows. If that line breaks, it's a lower low from back tw of 2020. Goodness gracious, that's like, this is stuff you see at the capital rotation events. At, it's like, look at that. Look at this. Like we're back. It's a massive topping structure. There's nothing bullish here for the Russell. So it's an illusion when people look at the Russell in fiat and it's going up, but goodness, there's other stuff outperforming. It just we just need the markets to roll over like nominally to wake people up. Until that happens, until the markets roll over nominally, because nobody's pricing stuff in gold and silver like we're doing here. Like unless you have access to trade, nobody does that stuff. But it shows you the underlying weakness. So once the Russell or the SPX starts like, really falling apart, then that's when you really, they start printing, they start public debt, US government public debt, programs, stimulus, bailouts, and acceleration of debt. And that's when they'll do that to save the economy. The stock market will go back up. They will put a floor under it by lowering rates, doing all that stuff. But on the recovery side, gold, silver, oil, uranium, copper, all that stuff will price in the destruction of purchasing power required to save US equities, and they will outperform on the way out. And you have the proof in those charts. Until those charts, like the Russell price and silver starts turning up, until Apple versus silver starts turning up, I'm not interested in tech. I'm just, it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, well said. I couldn't agree more with you, actually. I don't, there's nothing that I disagree with in what you just said. Patrick, you're a fantastic technician. I also do like you do marry the macro with what you just said. How do people find you, reach out to you, and all of that sort of thing?
Just so nice. Yeah, the Batcharts one, guys, on Twitter. We have a website with Kevin Wadsworth. You might know him as North Star Charts on northstarbatcharts.com. And for your members there, if ever they want to come and sign up there, you could use it. We have a discount code called NSBC Lifetime 50. If they use that, they get 50% off. So just for your viewers.
Fantastic. Thank you, Patrick. Really appreciate our time together as always. Thank you so much. I'll put all of this in the show notes below.
My honor. Thanks, Annie.